On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, where I've been, Journey, Fryfest, and War Against Everyone.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra has been away.
Yes, and I want to thank everybody for their condolences. My dad passed away very unexpectedly.
Yeah, I put out some tweets and put out a greatest hit show from, it was General Trius.
Which was an awesome show.
It was an awesome show. But yeah, and along with your dad passing, you've been staying in
Mom
the hills
needed,
for a while.
Mama needed some company more than anything else. I don't, like, she's perfectly capable of taking care of herself, but she's staying in the house that dad built, you know.
Right. There's Pukey Face Podcast.
Puke Face is here to join us. She's been throwing up hairballs. She doesn't cough them up. She throws them up. And she's got puke all over her little kitty face right now. So,
but she was sitting here. What you said, what she got on her face?
What have you got all over your face? And Hank's like, oh, that's puke. I was like, oh, thank you.
Damn it, Chairman Meow.
She's the puke face.
So anyway, you've been staying with Mama, and that's nice.
Yeah, and it
up in the country.
Well, we've got plans. We're gonna. They have a camper. They've been traveling around the country, you know, just doing fun stuff together. And the camper's being worked on right now. But as soon as we can get it, you know, back home set up, she's gonna stay in it for a while, and we're gonna finish. A place for her to stay.
Right.
They were planning on downsizing. They'd already started work on, it's funny, but they'd already started work on an apartment for themselves. And my brother was going to buy their house from them because he needs to upsize because he's got three basically stepkids now and he needs a much bigger space. So that's going to work. And we're all happy that it's going to be family being in the house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a perfect solution, but it's never a perfect time for something like that. So
no, there's not. They're just not. But you're handling it. You're staying up there, helping your family. It's nice.
Yeah. It's been.
And you've got the country problems too.
Oh God, yeah.
Forget about the. Tell them about the.
Well, all right. Just the whole little neighborhood, like as people have moved off, died off, whatever, dad's been buying up the neighbors' lots and houses and stuff. So he's got like a whole little stretch. We call it the alley. It has been a dirt road. There's a little bit of blacktop down to his house on it.
Between two mountains.
Yeah.
There's a river.
And a row. All right. They're wedged between. There's one row of houses and you weren't. They're around when there were all the houses were there. There was one row of houses wedged between a mountain, a railroad track, a little creek, and then another mountain.
And I mean damn mountains.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's no sunrise down there. This is deep, deep in the heart of southern West Virginia.
Yeah.
And dad's back was hurting him, so he's got a little golf cart. So it's funny, cause, so if we got to get from place A to place B, we've got a little golf cart to up and down.
You know, when you live out in the country like that, that's one thing about it. There's nobody to tell you no.
Yeah, exactly.
You can build your own little kingdom out there.
Well, they've given up. It's now legal. If you want to take your four-wheeler to the grocery store, as long as it's got brake lights, it's fine.
I'm sure. How are they going to, right? There's one policeman for a whole county of rural, crazy
pretty
roads.
Much, I mean, pretty much. There's more than one, but but they've got bigger problems than pulling you over because you're going to get a jug of milk on your four-wheeler. So
right. That
is normal. That is our normal. But mom's little dog's name is Lucy, and she's adorable. She's like a rat terrier mix.
She's like a Chihuahua, yeah, but she's like a Chihuahua wiener dog mix. She's long like a wiener dog.
That's a rat terrier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of related to, what are the dogs that I can't stand? Jack Russells. Mm. She's got a Jack Russell marking, But she's tiny. She weighs 6 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She's just goofy. But anyhow, I had her on the golf cart taking two bags of groceries, two bags of garbage up to the dumpster. And there's a neighborhood dumpster. But anyhow, I looked over and I've got a cousin who had a bunch of chickens.
They've got a whole animal farm going.
Oh, she's one goat shy of a petting zoo for sure. She's got everything up there. But now she doesn't have chickens.
let's solve the mystery. The plot thickens.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they have
the
been
plot.
Kind of moving. They have a big cage, and they were moving it around, kind of letting them, you know, peck at bugs and be chickens.
Moving the cage around the little property farm.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of room, and you know, the neighbors are real friendly about it, and all everybody's cool with the chickens. Anyhow, I was like, Lucy, what are you? And she took off after, you know, the chicken cage, because she's just interested. She doesn't want to mess with them.
Yeah, the chickens are bigger than her.
Oh, much bigger, much bigger. You know, she's terrified of them. But she goes right up to the cage, and none of the chickens were moving. And I was like, they're not asleep.
Chickens don't sleep laying down.
No. So I went down, you know, I ran down the hill to go see what she was investigating. And like two or three of them were totally missing their heads.
Headless
like,
chickens.
Headless chickens. And they were all like on the sides of the cage. Like something had reached in and really gone to town with these things. And the best we can figure, there's a lot of raccoons. Like there's a big raccoon problem in the area. And
of course there is.
The same, that same night, they got into the guinea pig cage too.
Mm.
So the guinea pig is no more, but, my little, well, it's, I guess she's my second cousin then. The little girl up there. Anyhow, we told her that the guinea pig was on vacation because, like, it's just too much death and dying. This child actually was there when my dad died. So that's just too much trauma for this little girl right now. So, you know, we're kind of, but they kept her inside when we, like, I was like, I got to go get a pair of gloves. I'll be right back. And I was going, I mean, I was all hands on deck. This is terrible. We toss them in the river. It's awful to do that, but that's really the best way to burial at sea.
You know, when you live in the country, that is one thing about country life.
That people cannot understand. Yeah.
You're around death.
Yeah.
I mean, chickens, stray dogs, raccoons, some stuff. And you got to, there's a balance there. I mean, if you have chickens and you have a bunch of possums and foxes or whatever that are they're eating your chickens.
Oh, and there's foxes around. We've seen foxes.
You know, I mean, you got to kill some of these things.
I think it's probably a good thing because chickens can be a little loud, especially if there's a rooster, and there was a rooster, and he was one of the ones missing his head.
I've never heard of a raccoon beheading anything.
I know. We were a little freaked out about it. We got animal control supposed to come out and set some traps. And
animal control?
Yeah.
Really? Where we're at? What the hell does that mean?
Well, my brother has connections, so.
The one animal control dude.
The one animal control dude. Actually,
Appalachia.
It's terrible, but actually, no shit. I'm not kidding. He works for my brother at the store part-time. And they brought in a bunch of food, so I've already met him. He's a super nice guy. Like, it's a small county. It really is.
Like, I wouldn't even think they would have that. I would think you would just, set a trap if you want to catch whatever's eating your stuff. I can't believe it.
Well, I guess
public
you could.
Official.
But if you know people who know people, they'll come get it for you.
You get them for you.
Yeah, yeah. There's been adventures in southern Appalachia for me.
You have been eating garbage.
I gave myself diabetes last week.
Not that kind of garbage. From the garbage can garbage.
Oh, okay. Well, it all relates because.
Well, it is. Yeah.
You're really going to tell this on me, Hank?
You're going to tell it. You've been telling everybody else, so you might as well tell our listeners.
All right. Well, Hank, we have a little local restaurant that has amazing pastries and cakes.
It's in walking distance of our
They're
loft.
Fabulous. They're absolutely fabulous. So good. And I have been trying to lose weight, But I've been helping Hank with the icing on his cake, which is kind of derailing my attempts to lose weight. And finally, I was like, quit sharing this with me. I want you to just, like, not tell me when you go get cake. And he's like, okay. And being a good husband, you didn't. I was taking a shower, and I didn't know that you had had a piece of cake. And you'd already gone to bed, and I went to throw something away in the garbage can. And I'm, it's a pedal at the bottom to flip the lid. I flip the lid up, and ooh, there's icing.
Hank's been eating cake.
I was like, ooh, I get so excited, and I reach down and grab it with my fingers and
out of the
stuff
garbage.
It in my mouth. And I'm not sure if those were your fingernails or your toenails.
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay, great.
You're welcome.
At least you had a shower, so I'm gonna go with that. But I'm in the kitchen at like midnight going, spitting this out as hard and fast as I can. And you want to be mad because, oh my God, it was booby trapped, but I'm the idiot that was eating out of a fucking garbage can. So I really cannot be mad at you
toenails
for even
and
a split second.
Toenails and icing don't go very well together.
No. But you know, the pastry chef, she made me a cup of icing after I told her that story.
Oh. Well, at least you got some mileage out of it. So that's nice.
I eat garbage. I also eat garbage when I'm at home because, like, all we have around is, like, somebody brought us a 48-pack of Snickers bars.
48.
48 Snickers bars. That's what you have if you're, like, a convenience store.
Why do they keep bringing, I mean, I get it. I know it's funeral stuff and where we're from, food equals love and all that, but can it at least be healthy food once in a while? Why do they have to bring Snicker bars?
Because everybody knows that's what my mom lives on.
I guess. I don't know. The way we do funerals around here, you eat like crazy forever.
Yeah.
And you get preached at. You go to the funeral, you get preached at.
How'd you like Dad's fire and brimstone service?
You know,
that's a little weird, isn't it?
It's weird in the whole scheme of things, I think. Like, if the rest of the country saw how we handle funerals, I think they would say it's weird. But that is so common around here that I don't even consider it. I guess I do consider it weird because that implies some sort of a negative thing. Mm-hmm. But it's not unusual. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's not unusual around here.
No, it's really not.
A dude dies and literally somebody preaches to you for 30 to 40 minutes of...
It's a sermon.
It's a downright sermon. It's not a eulogy. There's a little bit mixed in there, but most of it is a straight up, all you heathens that are in this audience, you're going straight to hell if you don't believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. And it's one step away from the whole, all right, who wants to come forward?
I thought that was going to happen. I really did.
Too.
I was like, no, please no. That's a little too far. That was very much a Pentecostal service.
I think it's a Baptist too, or any of them that I've been to. Like I said, I think it's very typical for Appalachia.
Well, Dad would have wanted. It really, I mean, he used to be a deacon in that church, so I mean, that was his church. So.
Oh, and I get it. You just sit there and be respectful because that's what your mom would want. And
I think I about cracked you and buddy of mine up though, and my brother's girlfriend, because I think I leaned over and looked down and I was just like, really, we're gonna go here?
Oh yeah. About 30, 45 minutes worth of it, of just fire and brimstone and, gosh, the whole, just every negative stereotype we ever talk about on this podcast.
Well, I would be a lot happier with organized religion if they emphasized the reward instead of the punishment. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, well, for sure.
I mean, it's not... It's like, repent now or you're going to burn forever. It's not, you know, hey, accept Jesus and go to heaven.
Well, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to, we just don't agree with what they are preaching.
But I get it, because with every fiber of my being right now, I want to believe in a higher power. I want to think my dad is mowing grass in heaven. I really do. But
well, maybe
I don't know what I think. I really don't anymore. It's a loss I've never experienced before.
Well, yeah, I get it. It is. And nobody knows the answers. We've talked about this a million times. If anybody knew the answers, there wouldn't be 50,000 different religious beliefs out there.
Yeah, claiming that they're the only one that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate. Nobody knows till you die. That's just how it is. But I do believe whatever higher power there is, I don't believe that. I don't think these churches, and I definitely don't think Christianity has any kind of a
corner on the market.
Exactly. Right. And some of the things that they preach just makes no sense. As far as, I don't know, they just seem to be mean-spirited and selfish and just the weirdest things. Like one of the things that preacher was preaching about that me and you both picked up on of, yeah, us Christians are just so persecuted. I remember a day when if somebody was telling a dirty joke and a Christian walked up, that somebody would just hush up and they'd just stop. And they would have blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, so basically you want to have like total control and be able to censor people.
The entire society, yeah.
Like a whole, like just because me and my buddies are telling a dirty joke and you walk up, all of a sudden we're supposed to stop.
Yeah.
And stop having fun and, governor our freedom of speech because you're a Christian dude and don't want to hear it. What I'm thinking, well, if you're a Christian dude and you walk up on me telling a dirty joke.
Walk away.
Yeah. You're the jackass should walk away. Not me stop telling my joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was just a whole, like I said, there was 30, 40 minutes of that dude preaching about all that stuff.
I don't like him. I mean, just like he was good friends with Dad, and that's why he was the pastor down at the church. And Dad sometimes had some disagreements with him, but for the most part, my dad thought that way too.
Oh, I know.
So yeah, but I've never been able to say that I liked him. He's always been. Like, he's the one that, preaches entire sermons against Harry Potter.
Oh, I'm sure. No doubt.
An entire sermon against it. And as a matter of fact, when that started hitting kids were reading that in school, that's when they opened their own, religious school. I think you can go to school at the church so that your kids can be spared.
So you can thoroughly brainwash your kids.
Yep. So you get no exposure to any other point of view, just theirs. Can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine these kids growing up being selfish little assholes.
Who can't read.
Who can't read. And anybody that doesn't believe the way I believe, well, they're obviously wrong.
Yeah.
And they should bow to my, you should cater to me. And I don't know. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
That being said, I get it. I'm in their church. That's the way they do a funeral. So I'm going to sit there and be respectful and do my thing.
I mean, we had to make decisions about when, where, what, and all. And that is, when we were doing this, we had to do what Dad would want.
Oh, right.
And that was exactly it. So
yeah, no, I agree totally.
But it was.
I just think it'd be odd for our listeners listening to this. I doubt if they go to funerals where they preach, literally preach.
Yeah.
Not just a little eulogy, not a little teeny thing. A
full-blown
sermon.
Yep.
I found it kind of odd. Last week, I went to a Journey concert that you weren't able to go to.
I know.
Here's these guys currently. Let me show you some of these people from Journey. This guy, Neil Ross, Jonathan Kane, this little bald dude.
Uh-huh.
And then this guy, Arnell.
Arnell.
Which, by the way, they put him last on the list here.
Well, he's the newest member.
He is, but.
He is the star of the show, but he's the newest member.
Exactly. So I wanted to pull this up. This is what Journey looked like in 1970.
Wow.
Look at those Jufros. Isn't that awesome?
And I which bet one was you, the bald dude?
I believe it's probably it's obviously one of these guys.
That guy.
Long haired dudes here.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
It is.
I mean, these guys have hair down to their nipples.
Yeah.
And they're bald now. I think it's great. Good for them.
Come on.
Hey, they're doing their thing. Good for them. So anyway, yes. Journey's on the road. And they did a good show. I'd recommend somebody go see them if you want to see some good classic rock.
I'd love to have seen it. It hurt that I didn't get to.
It was funny at the show to see all this. I mean, I'm 47. To see all these old rednecks around us. First of all, I brought a buddy of mine, Chris. He's a guy, a friend of mine, one of our friends. So, first of all, it was kind of a mandate, which was kind of
awkward but fun.
Yeah, that's exactly a good way to put it. Like it, and it really was a date. The more I thought about it all night long, I'm like, this is a fucking date. Like, this is, like, I guess when two guys go do something, and you shouldn't be, I don't know, you shouldn't be weirded out by it. I mean, I'm not a homosexual, obviously, and even if I was, it wouldn't mean whatever.
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
But at the same time, I just was thinking the whole time, like, you know, this is the same ritual. You know, I guess when you make friends, like, you go out with your girlfriends to go dinner or whatever.
I laughed when I went to see Def Leppard with my buddy. Sorry, wrong hole. When I went to see Def Leppard with her, we made a whole weekend out of it. We went shopping. We ate at Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. I mean, it was just the most.
Well, yeah. Well, this guy, Chris, he picked me up here. Like a good date would do. They picked me up at our apartment. Then we went to get something to eat.
And then, did you buy his dinner?
You know what? I did. Because he was driving.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good trade.
Yeah.
And then we go to the Journey concert. We're sitting together.
Yep.
You know, it's just the whole, you know, he drops me off at home. And it's funny as shit.
Did you kiss him goodnight?
Oh, there was no goodnight kiss.
I'm kind of glad to
should have asked for that. But anyway, it was just, I don't know, in a weird way, awkward, but it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. It should be just fine to do things with your friends. But I think it's more comfortable for guys if you do it in a group of three or more.
I agree. I think that was the issue. Like, and I also think it's where you can do this stuff at, too, is a bit of a societal something. Like, you meet a guy on a golf course and go golfing all day. And then, you know, after you golf, you get something to eat. It seems, I don't
perfectly
know.
Fine, but going to a concert was too date-like.
I don't know. There's something about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. And then we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, and then they, you know, we're sitting in our seats there. Obviously, they're right beside each other. And then they, you know, they play all these slow songs, faithfully, da, da, you know, and you're used to like.
Will you hold hands and sway?
Exactly. Everybody else, I'm like, should we just hold hands and start swaying here? What do you think? And the other thing with these old rednecks at this concert, this was a concert that was, it was actually in Appalachia is where this concert was. I don't know how the hell Journey ended up here. They must have lost a bet with somebody. But anyway.
I bet it was a full house.
It was. And some of these like old rednecks who, they can't handle their beer. They can't handle their beer, liquor. And they can't handle being out in public. They're just not good at stuff like that.
No, they're not. But we're going to try for this.
We must have seen at least three or four 50 to 60-year-old rednecky kind of guys.
Puking.
Getting out of line. And these security guards coming up and just knocking the fuck out of them.
Oh, really?
Yes. There was a guy, maybe, I don't know, he was in front of us, four or five rows. And he was probably being a jerk to somebody. Somebody reported him. He was, I don't know what he was doing exactly. Uh-huh. But a security guard came over. And these security guards, they hire, of course. Uh-huh. They're young guys in their 20s,
yeah.
mid-20s that lift weights. They're MMA dudes. You know, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
So one security guard comes over to this dude. I can just see what's happening. I can't hear it, but he tells him something, and you know, you can see the guy just instantly fly red and start getting in that guy's face, the security guard. And then the security guard, they have these little walkie-talkie earphones. They all have earpieces. It's a professionally done event.
Yeah.
You see him talk on his little thing, and then about five security guards all just boom on this guy.
Yeah.
And they ask him, you can see they're trying to get him like, you know, come on, sir.
It's time to go.
Yeah, they're basically going to throw his ass out. He throws a punch at one of them. Or does something, pushes somebody, and they all just, it's like party time for these security guys.
They're just like, boom,
damn
boom,
right.
Boom.
They throw his ass down. One guy's got him in a headlock. The other guy's punching him in the stomach. It's like, fuck.
Like, well, I didn't have any of that when we went to Def Leppard, but that people were generally better behaved. They were drunk and throwing up.
Yeah.
But like, the worst thing we saw was somebody kept trying to light up a cigarette in our aisle.
That may have been what this dude was doing, for all I know.
Yeah. And finally, I think, like, they went and got a security guard, and it was a female.
Yeah.
And she came down, and she's like, one more time. We get called one more time, and you're getting thrown out. And the guy, like, was a real asshole the rest of the concert. Like, is it okay if I drink? Is it okay if I go pee? You know, but it was funny because it was the cigarette that, like, they were upset about.
Yeah.
And there was weed everywhere.
That's funny. Well, some people just can't handle themselves, and that's just how it goes.
Yep.
Well, like I said, and part of it's probably, like, your security guard at Def Leppard in Louisville, you know, a little nicer.
Yeah.
Took a little more.
Yeah.
Not our.
But she was no nonsense. She came down and she was like, sir, one more time and you're getting drug out of here.
Well, I'm just saying our hillbilly security guards that we had at this Journey concert, they were not like that.
Yeah.
They were just as much ready to fight as anybody. I think they all probably get together before, like, all right, here we go.
Cracking their knuckles.
Damn right.
Stretching out a little bit.
We get to kick some ass tonight. Which one of you assholes are going to get it first? So I think the security guards had a good time with it, too. So anyway, and this band, they are so insecure about this guy, Arnell.
Really?
It must be a kind of weird love-hate relationship. They know that he saved their band as far as being able to sell concert tickets to go live. I don't know if they'll ever write another song that's going to be a hit.
Yeah, but they're all still living on the songs that were popular 30 years ago.
Right. And the lead singer from Journey years ago, Steve Perry, even if he went back to the band,
he wouldn't sound the same.
It would not sound anything close to the same. This guy sounds exactly like Steve Perry back when Steve Perry was young and singing all these hits.
Yeah.
So the songs sound amazing. And this Arnell guy, I think most people know the story, but if you don't, we won't.
Watch the documentary. It's
fabulous. Watch the documentary. Yeah. This dude had YouTube videos. He's from, hell, I don't know, Guatemala.
No, I think it was like the Philippines. Or
I think it's that. Yes, I think he's from the Philippines. Yeah. Anyway, he posts YouTube videos that eventually make their way to Journey, the band Journey, who's
and
looking for
went,
a lead singer.
They went to go like see him perform.
Yeah, right, because he was basically doing a bunch of Journey songs.
I think like
in
more
a lounge,
or less, karaoke and
yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was getting paid. Whatever, he was a lounge singer in the Philippines, and now he is.
Now he's touring the United States as the lead singer of Journey. Yeah.
So he saved the band as far as that. Like, this venue was about 10,000 seats. It was about how big this venue was. And we were just, you know, just some real quick math. On average, those seats were about $100 a ticket. Some more, some less. Ours was a little more. But you could average it out to $100 a ticket.
Okay.
That's $1 million.
Yeah.
10,000.
Even if the venue keeps half of it and there's a whole bunch of like promoters and stuff like that, that's one night.
Right. Right. I know everybody takes their cut of that. That's gross. But still, they took in $1 million in ticket sales for a damn Tuesday night
concert.
Not to mention the merchandise, the beer sales.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so they like this dude because he saved their ass, but they're all insecure at this concert. Like all these guys, this guy, Neil Schron, however you pronounce his name, he must have done 5 guitar solos, like at different stages of the thing, just him and a guitar trying to sound like Pink Floydish.
Yeah.
Like literally 10-minute guitar solo.
Oh, that's kind of annoying.
Not anything to do with a song, just something that he's made up. He's on the stage.
Yeah.
Playing with his guitar for 10 minutes. And some people.
Because he's an original member.
Right. Yeah. And then the guy on drums, literally, he has, again, and nothing to do with a song. Like a song will end, the lights kind of go down, all the other members leave the stage, and they leave the drum guy. He does probably 10, 15 minutes worth of some drum solo, just playing on drums.
Def Leppard didn't even do that, and that guy only has one arm. It was about a 5-minute drum solo where they had cameras, like, all over, mm-hmm. like, so you could see all different angles of, like, just him banging all over everything. It was amazing. But, like, there's a reason for that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. Like, these guys are all so insecure that they have to have their own. Like, the guitar guy has his 5 or 6 giant guitar solos with only him on stage.
Yeah.
Then the drum guy has his drum thing that's literally 10 or 15 minutes of just him.
Yeah.
The keyboardist, same thing.
Really?
At
Come
one
on.
Time, everybody leaves the stage except the keyboardist. And the keyboardist does a 10 or 15 minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and songs that they're introducing, like this guy will introduce a song. And it would be when he would introduce it. Well, when I wrote this song back in 1982 and I was on a bus on our tour that we were going to Boston, and it's like,
were they just trying to eat up the time for the concert, or was it just
like they wanted everybody to know, like, all right, this guy may be singing it, but I wrote this song and it was in 1982 and it was on this day and I was on this plane, and like every,
that's painful.
It was a little,
that's painful.
And I, that's what I was telling Chris, the guy I was with. I'm like, God, they are so insecure. Like, can't you just fucking sing the song and go to the next
guy? Sing his ass off, because.
Yeah. And then when the song starts, it's phenomenal. I mean, it sounds just like it. The guy, this Arnell, is jumping around stage like a jackrabbit.
He's really a great performer.
Yeah. He gets up on speakers and he does all kinds of crazy stuff.
I want to see him someday. I really do. Damn it, I hate I miss
him. So it's good, but it's just a little funny seeing them being insecure. So,
I bet. I want to see him someday.
So, love-hate relationship.
Yeah, and they definitely put him all the way down at the bottom. And I can kind of get why they do that, but he's the star of the show, whether they like it or not. Now.
Yes, yes.
And honestly, if they marketed it the right way to younger people with him, if they really pushed this, re-released something, did one new song, they could be huge again with him.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're trying to write songs anymore. And we've talked about this, you know, the creative stuff. Maybe this will happen. Maybe, I don't know. We're trying to do this and be creative and do our podcast.
Yes.
And I think there's a level of creativity. But, man, we've said it a million times, these bands and whatever, there seems to be a golden period of time in your 20s.
Yeah.
That is just when the creative, I don't know if that's when you have more energy. It's both.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get into the neuroscience of it about your brain and all that, but that's part of it. But it's also you're just young and you're energetic. And
yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason a lot of these bands don't have hit songs after they're 40 or 50. They just don't have it.
Well, they don't have it in them anymore, and
plus society has moved on in a way too.
Well, and too, we're a youth-oriented society. We worship youth.
We do. You're right. There's something about
and I'm saying this point. About this guy here. I mean, they have a young lead singer who sounds amazing. They should put that to use.
You know, I agree. They've got right.
Like, to me, they're almost failing here.
Yeah, I wish they would come out with a new song. They didn't. They didn't at the concert. Mm-hmm. It was nothing. And they didn't do anything from pre-Steve Perry either. I don't know if anybody is a Journey buff or a history music buff, but they had three or four albums before Steve Perry ever joined a band. It was that damn magic elf going to the cave of Narnia songs that are awful.
Tolkien.
Yeah, just god-awful songs like that. But there's two or three albums of that before.
And then all of a sudden it became arena rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And good
deal. And anyway, they did pretty good. This guy is back in the news. I thought you'd enjoy this.
Yeah.
This little story. Remember the Fry Festival we talked about?
Oh, yeah.
The failed, wherever it was. Was it in the Philippines or the Virgin Islands?
Virgin Islands, Caribbean somewhere.
Yeah, some of the Caribbean where people paid $300,000 or $400,000 for a ticket.
Yeah,
like it could be that much.
Crazy expensive, yeah.
To get cheese sandwiches, everybody
and a
canceled
tent.
A tent.
Yeah.
Well, one of the executives from this, now some of the lawsuits are starting to come out. The marketing executive, who is also an investor, so he's not just a marketing, he's not just their marketing guy, he's also an investor.
Okay.
It's come out that he doctored a bunch of financial reports that they were given and financial documents that they were given to people to try to get them to invest money in this.
Oh, he took the book.
So, yeah, he's fucked. But one of the quotes that that come out of this, when the Fry Festival people, their little inner circle apparently, when it became clear that the event was going to be a disaster, that obviously this was not going to work, this is what this guy's name, Billy McFarland, this was his quote to his other people. Quote, "Let's just do it and be legends, man," in quotes.
Be so bad, you're legendary.
Let's just do it and be legends, man.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe that you would...
I'm all about the hippie love and come on, man. Can't we just all get along, dude, and all that. But come on. That must be like, what an
epic. That's stoner logic there.
That is. Isn't that crazy? He's been charged with wire fraud and faces up to 20 years in prison.
Let's just do it, man.
Let's just do it, man. We'll be legends, dude. Like,
idiot.
No forethought of, look, we've just told you this is not going to work.
That's
no, man,
so bad.
It'll all work out, man. Let's just do it anyway, dude.
That's so bad.
Isn't that awful?
Yes, it is. It's funny, awful, and just, I feel bad for the people, but it was like kind of first world problems that they were having. It was, if they weren't such spoiled, rotten heirs and heiresses, they probably would have had a good time. Like Woodstock, they showed up and it was a fucking disaster. And they made a legendary once-in-a-lifetime event out of it.
You know, that's a good point. They didn't have any worse than that.
Hell no. They were in paradise. Like, honestly, it's like Survivor. It's like Survivor. The rest of the world should be pissed off that we have reality TV where you're dropped off in a place where people already live and the game is just to survive.
Yeah, that's a good point. This says, quote, McFarland allegedly presented fake documents to induce investors to put over $1 million in his company in a fiasco called the Fry Festival. Millions of dollars. He overstated one of these, one of the biggest things here. In one communication with an investor, Mr. McFarland supplied a Scottrade statement that he had altered to inflate his ownership of a particular company's stock. According to the complaint, the fake document showed that Mr. McFarland owned 2.5 million shares, when in reality, he owned $1,500 worth of shares. You're going to go big, right, if you're going to lie.
Lie a lot. This guy was... I wonder how old he was. Did he know better, or...
I don't know.
It's just weird. It's just weird.
This says McFarlane's partner in the event was rapper Ja Rule. So when they say it was his, like, it's not a marketing executive. He must have been the owner and one of the main people.
Yeah.
And he must have taken it upon himself to do the marketing, I guess. I don't know. Sound crazy.
I don't know. Sometimes when people get together and decide to do something, everybody's just like, well, I can do this. Maybe he'd never done this shit before. Who knows?
No, I don't know. It says tickets were going for as much as $400,000 a ticket.
That's crazy.
$400,000 a ticket. Yeah.
That is just crazy. Like, for that, you really would expect, I got to say, like, I see both sides of this. For $400,000, you would absolutely, positively expect to be lounging in paradise.
Oh,
and
no
be waited on hand and foot. But if you're already there and this shit is happening, make the most of it, people. Then sue when you get back.
Yeah, and I think that's
practical.
And I think that's where most people had a good fun at this, is because nobody got hurt, nobody died, and it was people that obviously, you spent $400,000 on a ticket to festival.
Anything.
People are going
to
be a little jealous or a little something, you know.
A huge McMansion around here.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah.
You have to look hard to find a house that costs that much.
Yeah, and so when something happens to that, I don't know, people are going to be a little...
Yeah, we're not going to feel very sorry for you.
That's the word for it, yeah. There's not going to be a lot of sympathy for you and your
cheese
sandwich.
We're going to laugh at your ass. We're going to laugh at your ass and your cheese sandwich.
In your tent, in your wilted lettuce. Listening to your MP3 player because there's no concert.
Oh, my God.
There's no concert.
Music. When are they going to... Yeah. Sorry, not good. Sorry, not sorry.
I hear you. And we saw a movie. I got you to watch a movie.
You did. I'm anxious to talk about this.
War on Everyone. I would recommend this movie on Netflix.
To everyone. Jeremy Meow just fell.
Jeremy Meow just tried to stretch out and just fell flat on her fat ass. There she goes. Oh, I'm going
go
to get her app to make up for
yes.
it.
Yes, yes. You meant to do that. You jumped in the floor, didn't you, baby?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, Kat?
If you like Pulp Fiction, this is your movie. It's
See,
that kind of humor.
I like this movie better than Pulp Fiction. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to say it, and you can make fun of me. I know Pulp Fiction is a classic. But I didn't watch Pulp Fiction until a couple of years ago, all the way through. Like, I never got through the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes of Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And I get it. It's classic. I respect it. I like this movie better. It's funnier to
me. Well, there you go. That's a glowing review. I just don't see how this movie didn't get somewhere.
Like, huge.
Bigger.
Yes.
So, I mean, it is R-rated. It's R-rated violence. It's R-rated humor. No doubt about it.
It's smart. It's sassy.
It is smart. It stars that tall dude that's the Vampire Eric.
What is his name? Skarsgård?
Alexander Skarsgård. And the other dude is Michael Pena.
And they are just comedy gold together. These two are the odd couple. And the movie starts out with Vampire Eric being very much the dumb blonde. And it's hilarious to see a guy doing that, and he does it. He plays it well. He really does. He's fun. And
Pena
is that how you really say his name?
I don't know.
But he was like just zing, 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 zappers and one-liners, and so intelligent. I mean, it was so fun to watch this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was. I loved it. Here's a few little quotes. This from Bob. I've never killed anyone before. Terry. Well, neither have I. Bob. Well, you know what they say. It's always be open to new experiences.
They're bad cops, okay? And just so everybody knows, they're bad cops, but they're dealing with worse bad guys. So
Bob, why don't we just throw him off the roof? Terry, huh? Bob, I'm kidding. That's a bad joke. Terry, you should see the other guy. He was totally unscathed.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. He'd been beat up with a bag over his head.
Bob, he called me wetback.
He knows damn well I was born here. He's a big fat racist pig is what he is.
The zinger that came back at that was great. It was, it's very timely. Like, this is a movie.
It's good timing. You're right.
That is really, really like dead on with the issues facing society right now. And it attacks them head on with just brutal comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's edgy. I just love that movie. If anybody else is out there.
Well, you've seen it twice now. I'm going to watch it again just so I can catch more lines. Because sometimes you're laughing so hard, you don't hear the next three lines.
You know, and another thing, it's sort of like, too, back in the day.
You're shedding.
It's a little bit like that Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels,
and
too.
I love that movie.
I think it's a lot of that, too. It's people from different ethnic backgrounds, and they're kind of poking fun at each other. The Irish guy. The black dude that's trying to hide out. Get your funny bone there.
It's so funny.
It's funny for everybody else.
Try not to disturb the cat on the lap there.
The black guy that's that goes to New Zealand to try to blend in, or Iceland. It's just a good movie.
The joke about, we'll just stand here and watch for the black guy. Yeah. And they did it and they found him.
Yeah. That's great. I just thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Petra, where can everybody find us? Tell us some.
Okay, we have a webpage. We have our own beautiful webpage, hillbillynerdtalk.com. From there, you can catch up on old episodes. You can find Hank on Twitter. He's very active. Me on Pinterest. I'm obsessive. And Facebook pages as well.
Yeah, we hit all those a little bit.
Yeah.
I haven't hit them as much lately, to be honest, but.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in a holler where we don't have, we barely have Wi-Fi.
So. I can barely get to you to text. We have to text.
Well, and it doesn't go through for hours. You have to turn off the router and turn it back on.
It's like, it is like, you're right.
I expect to turn it on in here.
You're right. It's like a third world problem complaining that we have to text instead of getting cell phone service and things like that. But yeah,
I was so impressed. I drove down the road and went to the grocery store, and it's literally 3 miles down the road and you have cell phone. And I was like, what? So they are putting towers in. But the problem down there is you have to put one in every freaking holler.
Yeah, every mountain. My goodness, it's just how it is.
It's funny.
Well, maybe eventually they'll solve the headless chicken issue while they're putting up the towers. They'll figure out you've got an Appalachian chupacabra out there or something.
I think we do. That's pretty bad. I'm not sure if the head was the only thing he could get through and bite off, or what the hell? That was weird.
That is weird.
Headless chickens.
Headless chickens. All right, Petra, do you have anything else?
Nope. Everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.